Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Huaygesa for our talks on the Diamond Sutra. As I've said several times, these talks are not intended to be a scholarly type of talk. It's not an intellectual matter, the Diamond Sutra. You can treat it intellectually. You can treat anything intellectually. You can treat the newspaper intellectually. But basically, this should be treated as not some vast intellectual experience that you have to kind of conceptually or mentally understand. Rather, just get a sense of what it's pointing to. Get some sense of where it's pointing, and then go there. And then go there. Okay? That's all that this is. It's not better than you. It's not more intelligent or holier than you or deeper than you. It's only pointing to you. It's only pointing to you right here. So it's just like a sign if you want to drive from Seoul to Busan or Seoul to, maybe Busan is easy to get to. Maybe you want to go to Mokpo or something like that. Then you get on the highway. Then you follow this sign, and then it says you get on the Gyeongbu Gosokdoro, the highway. Then you follow the sign, and you take it down to Daejeon. You take the expressway down to Daejeon. And then around Daejeon, it says that you should get on the Honamsun, maybe. I never drove to Mokpo, but I think it's like that. Then you see the sign, and the sign says this direction. So you see the sign, and you just go there. Then you go down, you take the Honamsun down, and you're down, you go past Gwangju. And when you get to Gwangju city, you can go continue to Suncheon city, or you can keep going to Mokpo. So there's another sign at that time. So you see the sign and you do it. So the sign is not more important than you. The sign doesn't know anything more than you. The sign is actually not interesting itself. The sign is not valuable itself, not for its material, not for its color, not for its shape, not for the color of it, the style of the words. The sign is not important. The sign is not important. That's what this is. This is just a sign. It's just a hyunpan. It's just a sign that's pointing you to your nature. That's all. So people think that the Diamond Sutra or some sutra is something itself. I must get this. I must understand this. I must learn this. I must somehow put this in my head. Somehow I must fit this words into my understanding. That's not correct. That's attachmutra. That's not using the Diamond Sutra for the reason the Buddha gave it. The Buddha gave this sutra not for the sake of the sutra, not for the sake of studying the sutra. So these talks are all oriented for that. We are looking at the Diamond Sutra to introduce you to what it's pointing to. But the sutra itself is not important. My words themselves are not important. They're not interesting. They have no value. What they're pointing to. So again, it's just like this. Oh, where is the painting of Seungsan Kuntsanim in this room? See, some heads turned. Some of your heads turned. So when your finger goes like this, then people look at the finger and they go, if they use this finger correctly, heads turn and see the picture. But everyone attaches to the Diamond Sutra. This Diamond Sutra is also a pointer. It's pointing. But it's not pointing at Seungsan Kuntsanim's picture. It's not pointing at it. It's pointing at my nature. That's all. So don't attach to the pointer. Don't attach to the pointer. Analyze the pointer. How long? How big? What year was it made? And how many people did it? And what does it compare to? And I read one book about it and I studied it 15 other times and compared to other fingers, it's like this and it's like the this and it's... That's not the point of this finger. Look at the finger. Find the picture. That's all. Again, someone turned their heads. That's all. So, the pointer is not interesting. Its job is what it's pointing to. Same thing with this. So, I have to say that again because maybe we've been doing this for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and some of you might still be interested or attached to the knowledge of the words, the concepts, the ideas. It's not interesting. The Bible, the Banya Shimgyong, everything is just like that. It's pointing to something. If you get that something, you don't need this anymore. You don't need this anymore. But if you don't get that something, if you don't get that, actually you already have it. If you don't see that, then you need this, you need me, you need Buddha, you need Buddhism, maybe you need some other religion. So, see it as a pointer and do it. That's the point of the Diamond Sutra. That's the point of any authentic teaching, okay? So, I wish everyone keep that in mind as they look at this, okay? Don't be too fascinated by this. Please don't be too fascinated by the intellectual possibilities of this, because then you're not going to Mokpo anymore. Your car is driving to Shanghai. Yeah, Shanghai is no problem. But if you want to go to Mokpo, it's a waste of time. Plus, much more expensive. Okay? And I hope you can swim, too. So, let's continue with our look at the Diamond Sutra and what the Diamond Sutra is pointing to. We went up to chapter 23 and 24 last time, and we talked about, let's look at 24 again. Sabuti, if there be one who gives away in gifts of alms, in gifts of donations, a mass of the seven treasures, equal in extent to as many mighty Mount Sumerus as there would be in 3,000 galaxies of worlds, and if there be another who selects even only 4 lines... If you select even just 4 lines from this discourse upon the perfection of transcendental wisdom, receiving and retaining them, and clearly expounding them to others, the merit of the latter will be so far greater than that of the former that no inconceivable comparison can be made between them. So, this just means the Diamond Sutra talk about emptiness, 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 everything is empty. Self is empty, motive is empty, intent is empty, charity is empty, enlightenment is empty, sentient beings are empty, Buddha is empty. Everything is fundamentally pure emptiness. Fundamentally pure emptiness. Okay? That means everything is completely no hindrance. Everything completely is no hindrance. Yeah, in many other traditions, there's something that's here and something that's here. You must try to go to this and try not to go to this. Something is holy, something is unholy. Something is good, something is evil. Can't get out. So you see, that kind of a tradition cannot escape. It's hindered by its own view. It is hindered because of its own view. Its view is hindrance. But this is a teaching of emptiness, the interpenetration of all phenomenon, the interpenetration of all substance, your substance, my substance, her substance, his substance, a dog substance, a fly substance, that sound substance, plant substance, water substance, universe substance, God substance, Buddha substance, all substance, it's the same substance. So everything is no hindrance. Only when you give rise to thinking, tunk, hindrance appears. You make two. Me, my thought. Me, my thought, my bad thought, my angry thought, my I thought, my you thought. When you make two, you always make a problem. So this is Bul-i Sasan. Not two. Everything returns to the same substance. So, two. When he says, there's a great merit in making huge donation. We talked last week about maybe someone like Bill Gates or somebody making a big donation. Wow, that's wonderful. That's great. This week, one of you will make great donation in the donation box over here. That's wonderful. I wonder who that will be. That's great merit. Fantastic merit. And I hope you earn that merit. However, making that merit, you know that true merit is really high class merit is also, together with that, retaining even only four lines from this sutra. That doesn't mean memorizing four lines. It doesn't mean retaining, keeping four lines. It just means have insight into what this is pointing to. Get it. If you get the point, if you realize somewhat what this sutra is saying, that's very high merit. Why? Sutra is talking about you. So when you get that, you get yourself. There's no higher merit. Okay? So that's a very important point. Let's turn to chapter 25. The illusion of ego. This is a great, great, great chapter. The illusion of ego. The illusion of ego. Sabuti. Let no one say that Tathagata cherishes the idea, I must liberate all living beings. Allow no such thought, Sabuti. Wherefore? Because. In reality, there are no living beings to be liberated by the Tathagata. If there were living beings for the Tathagata to liberate, he would partake in the idea of selfhood, personality, ego entity, and separate individuality. Sabuti. Though common people accept ego as real, the Tathagata declares that ego is not different from non-ego. Ego is not different from non-ego. Sabuti. Those whom the Tathagata referred to as common people are not really common people. It's just a name. Such is merely a name. So, let's look at that. Everybody thinks their ego is real. Everybody thinks their I is real. Their Korean I. Their Korean I. Their American I. Their Japanese I. Their Chinese I. Now Chinese I becoming a little stronger. Their Muslim I. Their Buddhist I. Their Christian I. Their female I. Their male I. Their conservative I. Their liberal I. Everyone thinks that their ego, their I, their thinking identity is real. No, I don't like that person because every time I meet that person, well, they're not nice to me, so I really don't like them, and it really, that's this I. You think that substance is real. You think it's real. So every day, Buddha's teaching is, every day suffering only comes from that. The fundamental ignorance that there's I, and that this I, or self, or ego, whatever, that this I is real. All suffering comes from that. It's an illusion. It's just like a dream. When you have the dream, you think the dream is real. When you're having a dream, you think the dream is real. You think the dialogue is real. You think your reactions are real. You feel fear. You think that's real when you're experiencing it in the dream. It's all real to you. You actually react according to what you experience. But, in fact, while you are dreaming that real world, while you're experiencing it in your head, it's not real. It's not real. That's why sometimes if you have a very bad dream and something very, very bad is about to happen to you, you're walking on the street, maybe some bad guys come and they catch you and then they take you somewhere and then they have some guns and then they say, we're going to kill you, and then they put the gun, and then sometimes, if you're very clear in your dream, you go, oh, this is not a dream. Oh, this is not real. This is a dream. You know, sometimes in your dream, you say, oh, this is not, in that minute, the dream doesn't affect you. Yeah, that's happened to everyone, yeah? Who has never experienced that? Except for Bo Hengsnim, who has never experienced that? So, very interesting. Sometimes in this worst part of the dream, you're really experiencing it's real. But the moment you realize that that real thing is just a dream, the power of that experience disappears. It can't control you. Okay? So, ego is just like that. I, selfhood, it's just like that. It's exactly the same experience. So, when you think it's real, it is real to you, somewhat. It is like real, let's say. But the minute you have insight that that doesn't exist, the minute you realize that that's not real, it can't affect you. It can't affect you. So that's a very simple point. So, Subhuti, what do you think? Let no one say that the Tathagata cherishes the idea, I must liberate all living beings. Never keep that thought. I must liberate all living beings. Sentient beings are numberless. We vow to save them all. 중생무변소원도. But never keep the idea, I must save sentient beings. I must save sentient beings. Why is this? This is very interesting. You'll notice that people who believe in a religion or something, who, I must save these people. I must save you from hell. I must save you. Are the people who have the craziest idea about religion. Psycho. Saibi. So, this illusion that I save you is an illusion. Why? Because there is no I. Fundamentally, there is no I. There is no you. To think I save you, that's like a person having a dream. And in the dream, they're saving someone else having a dream. It's like two people sleeping in the same room or the same house. And one person in their dream, oh yes, yes, I must save you. Yes, I will save you. In the dream, you think you save that person. Because you think I and you. So in your everyday life, to think, I must save you. From hell, from something, it's already an illusion. So I told this story a few weeks ago. I'll tell it very quickly now. It's a very famous story. Kyung Ho Sunim was walking in the mountains. He was walking with his student, Yong Song Sunim. This story, more than anything, shows this power of this. And they're walking in the mountains, and they come upon these children selling frogs. They're selling frogs, and they have the leg tied to the table. And so they walk past, and they're very, very hot. They're waving themselves. And Yong Song Sunim says to Kyung Ho Sunim, oh, teacher, please sit down. I must do something. Kyung Ho Sunim says, okay. Kyung Ho Sunim sits under the tree, and Yong Song Sunim gets up. He takes out his money, and he says, how much are the frogs? Maybe 8 or 9 or 10 frogs. And these little boys are selling them. You know, tourists buy the frog, take the frog home, then kill this frog, then fry this frog, then mekju, hanchan, okay, got to go. And they have this frog and it's like anju, maybe. Snack. So, Yong Song Sun goes up and says, how much for the frogs, little guys? And they say, oh, maybe, you know, something. I don't know, that time maybe, shipwon. I don't know, very, something. $1, $2. So you, no problem. Here's $5. Keep the change. Give me the frogs. Gives the frogs. Takes the frogs away. He immediately takes the frogs away and takes them one by one and puts them back in the water. And these frogs are very happy. Swimming. Yong Song Sunim, 감사합니다. Then Yong Song, 내가 잘났어. Goes back to his teacher, and his teacher is just fanning himself. His teacher saw everything, but just fanning himself. And Yong Sang-jin says, "Oh, okay, Kunsunim, we can go." And Kunsunim says, "Oh, what did you do?" "Oh, I just bought these frogs. I saved these frogs. They were going to be sold and eaten, but I saved these frogs." And Kyung-ho-sun says, "Oh, that's very good. When you die, you will go to hell." And Yong-sung-jin is very shocked. He says, "Why? Teacher, I just saved these frogs. I saved 10 frogs." And Kyung-ho-sun says, "Yes. You saved these frogs. Now you will go to hell." And Yong Song seems very confused and says, "Why? I just did something very good. How can you say that?" Kyung Hoon said, "You say I. You have I. I saved those frogs. You have I. So you will go to hell." So that's a very interesting teaching. Yeah, that doesn't mean some hell place. That means you give rise to ego. Little ego is a little hell. Medium ego, medium hell. Big ego is a big hell. So it's this ego hell. It's the beginning of hell. Okay? So that's a very interesting teaching. That's this point. So Yong Song Sim heard that and was very surprised. Was enlightened about this. So, I save you is an illusion, because I is an illusion. So, Buddhist teaching is everything is already Buddha. Everything is already Buddha. When the Buddha got enlightenment, according to the tradition, he sat in meditation. And then he got enlightenment. And then according to the story, he hit his leg. He said, "All sentient beings already have this. All sentient beings already have it. They just don't know it." So, if all sentient beings are already Buddha, how can Buddha save Buddha? So, this is an illusion. I save you. Sentient beings save themselves. So, if Buddhas only save sentient beings, or Bodhisattvas only save sentient beings, then sentient beings don't practice, only wait. Buddha will save me. Buddha will save me. Buddha will save me. Then there's no effort. Then there's no practice. But the teaching of Buddhism is, I save, which means no I. Realizing there's no I. Already saved. Already saved. So in other religious traditions that you might be familiar with, this absolute power, only this absolute power can save me. Only some person can save me. So, doesn't matter. Only I believe. Only I believe. If I believe, I can be saved. If you not believe, doesn't matter what you do, cannot be saved. That's this where this illusion leads to. It leads to that kind of belief. It leads to that kind of thinking. But how can this absolute power save me? That's a mistake. I save me. I save myself, which means realizing no I, no myself. Already saved. That's Buddhism's teaching. Already. So the Buddha, when he got enlightenment, he said, sentient beings already got it. Already saved. They just don't know it. Okay? So, we often say it's like this. It's like, let's say there's $1 million. $1 million bill. Yeah, if you have $1 million, you're a rich person. $1 million bill. And it's, someone comes up to you and puts it on your back. puts very lightly tapes this $1 million bill on your back. Or maybe they put it into your pocket before you put your pants on. They put this $1 million very quietly in your pocket. Then you don't know, you put your pants on in the morning. You think, you don't know you have this money. Let's say you don't know you have this $1 million in your pocket or stuck to your back. You don't know it. Okay? So you think, next month's rent, my car insurance, my taxes, how can I pay? I have to work hard. I have to save money. But you have $1 million. The whole time, you have $1 million. But you don't know it. You don't know it's already there. It's already sitting right there. So this thinking, I need $1 million, or I need just a few dollars, not $1 million. So when someone comes up to you and says, look in your pocket. When you reach in your pocket, you realize what you already had. So just your thinking changes. So the Buddha taught us human beings are already complete, fundamentally complete and clear and pure as they are. They just don't know it. They're just not aware of it. So they think, I am poor. I need money for insurance. I need my rent. What about my rent money? How can I pay this? What about my this? What if this? My money coming. My money going. My investments going up. Market going down. Going up. But whole time, have $1 million. So the thinking is what makes us think we are poor. But the Buddha said, already we have it. So when someone points that out to you, they don't make you a rich person. They let you know that you already had the money. Very simple. Buddhist teaching is very clear and extremely honest about that point. No one can give you that $1 million. Why? Because you already have it. You're already a millionaire. I remember one time I had one time I was having a Gong'an interview, like a Sun Mundap with Zen Master Sung San Kunsnim. And I was it was a Dongango, and it was maybe my second one or my third long winter retreat. And it was a very strong retreat, and I was really pushing myself very, very hard, doing lots of bowing and lots of sitting meditation and lots of bowing. And it was very, very intense. And it was a great retreat because really meditation really became very, very, very deep for me that time. And he came to Shinwansa. That time I was at Shinwansa in the Sampang. And he came to give interviews to everybody in the retreat one day. Interviews. So he came and he sat there, and you know, one by one we came into the interview room. And I was just so incredibly happy for 2 weeks. When the retreat started, lots of suffering, lots of confusion, lots of different kinds of mind, anger mind, and kind of this kind of mind, and then this kind of mind around and around and around and around and around and around again. And then finally, when the retreat started, and I was bowing, 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 sitting, 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 bowing, 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 sitting, sitting, bowing, bowing, chanting, chanting, bowing, bowing. Just during sitting, just completely clear. Just one sitting especially, just completely opened up. And completely amazing. And from that point on, I was very happy. I never had these minds again during that retreat. And so he came about 2 weeks later after that. And I had an interview, and we did some Gong'an back and forth. He asked me some Gong'ans, and we gave answer back and forth and this thing. Then I said, sir, you know, I want to say something before I leave. I said, sir, I'm so grateful to you. And I was, that time when I said it, I was crying. So grateful. I will never forget this teaching you gave me. I said, I feel like I have become like a very instantly a very wealthy, like a very wealthy person or something. I feel like I'm suddenly have gone from being very poor to being Rockefeller. And he laughed. He said, yeah, that money, already you have that money. You just didn't know it. He said, now your practice is how to use this money that has no end. So that was a very important teaching. I thought I got something from this experience. But he said, no. You already had all of this. You just didn't know it. Now your job is learn how to use this money. That's your whole life practice. So that's a very interesting point. Buddha says that exactly right here. It's only the illusion of ego that makes people suffer. So, Subhuti, what do you think? Let no one say that Tathagata cherishes the idea, I must liberate all living beings. I must save you. I must lead you to the Lord. Because that's a mistake. That's not correct religion. Allow no such thought, Subhuti. Wherefore? Because in reality, there are no living beings to be liberated by the Tathagata. There are no living beings that need to be liberated by the Tathagata. If there were living beings for the Tathagata to liberate, he would partake in the idea of selfhood. If there's something to liberate, there must be something that liberates. Me. If there's you to liberate, then there must be something that liberates. That's already making this two. If there were living beings for the Tathagata to liberate, he would partake in the idea of selfhood, personality, ego entity, and separate individuality. Subhuti, though common people accept ego as real, as being something real, though usual people, non-practicing people, ordinary folk in the world, think of ego as identity, of self, as real. They think it's a real thing, something you fix. People think that ego is something you fix, something you make better, something you improve, something you change. People think ego or I or self is something that you fix. That's a mistake. You can't fix something that doesn't exist. It's like fixing space. You can't fix it. It's like a bad smell appearing in space. You can't fix the space. Space is never broken. I like one time I asked, this is related to this, one time we were having a morning, Kunsanim used to always come up to the Sompang here at Huagesa every single morning and meet with us and do a small Dharma talk, and then he would ask questions. And one time I asked him, sir, you know, in America, many, many, many people go to a psychiatrist to fix their mind. But in Korea, not so many. This was 8 years ago, okay? So now it's changed a little bit now. But I said, many people in Korea don't go to a psychiatrist or to a therapist to fix their ego. Why? And he said, oh, very simple. He said, Korean people not so much have psychological problems because when they're young, when they start to have strange thinking, their parents say, don't think like that. Don't think like that. Just don't think like that. Then he says, then this problem doesn't appear. And now it's a little bit different. But this old style Korean teaching. Someone starts to have crazy sort of weird things. Parent says, just don't think like that. Just don't think like that. then boom, already gone. So, yeah, some things are very difficult not think like that. Maybe you were received some abuse. Maybe you saw someone get killed. Maybe you, of course, it's not that simple. But you can see from that that there is a point there. This is created by thinking. It's not real, fundamentally. So it's not something you fix. Like I said, there's this famous book in America. You can look it up probably on google.com if it's still out there. It's called, We have had 100 years of psychotherapy, you know, the history of psychotherapy, 100 years of psychotherapy, and we're still messed up. Because ego can't be fixed. Ego can't be fixed. Someone asked me to give a talk at a meeting of psychotherapists in Seoul one time. And they said, oh, can you give a talk at this meeting? And I said, no. And they said, no. We really think that Zen teaching can really be helpful for psychotherapy. I said, no. They said, no, why? You talk about fixing the mind. We talk about fixing the mind. I said, Zen never talks about fixing the mind. Buddhism never talks about fixing the mind, fundamentally. Why? Because there's no mind to fix. You think mind, you have mind. Then you need to fix it. But you can't fix that mind. You cannot fix that mind. So, ego cannot be fixed because ego is an illusion. Rather, return. What makes ego? What makes mind? Where does that come from? If you look at that, you see no mind. No ego. Already fixed. It's very clear to say that, but maybe a little bit difficult to do for some people. So that's the meaning of this chapter, okay? Subhuti, though common people accept ego as real, the Tathagata declares that ego is not different from non-ego. Subhuti, those whom the Tathagata referred to as common people, regular people, are not really just a name anyway. So he's saying, society's idea of ego is a mistake. As much as you say that there's ego, a separated ego, it's an illusion. It's the same as no ego. It's just an empty illusion. That's all. So don't attach to ego. Don't make ego. Don't try to fix ego. Rather, return to what is making ego? What does ego come from? What am I? Already ego stopped. Because ego is just created by thinking. It's like the shadow of a hand. Don't try to fix this shadow. You don't like the shape of the shadow? Here's a shadow of my hand on this page. You try to fix it. Maybe move one of the... No, these two fingers should be together. If you try to fix the shadow, that's crazy. Everybody knows that is crazy. Everybody knows that is crazy. Trying to fix your ego is like trying to fix a shadow. You can't do it. But what made the shadow? What is the source? What created that shadow? What am I? If you ask that question, all thinking is completely cut off. Before thinking arises. That's interesting. That already fixes ego, because that's before ego. Okay? So that's the meaning of this chapter. Lots of long speech about nothing.